Well, it's Veterans Day, and I'm reminded of some war stories and some things I've heard in the past from different men in my life and different ladies. Now, my daddy was in the Air Force, but he was not in combat. In fact, he was a cook. Hallelujah. All right. He enjoyed that. And he also had a talent for singing and playing his guitar, so he was entertainment for the troops. And so he had a good experience in the Air Force. My grandpa's claim to fame, he was not in the military, but he worked in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. How many can think back to what is significant about Oak Ridge, Tennessee back in the 40s? Well, he worked where they created and made the atomic bomb, Little Boy. You ever heard about the Little Boy atomic bomb? And they dropped that on Hiroshima, Japan, August the 6th, 1945. And so he told me the stories of working in that facility, getting that atomic bomb ready. And you know, it was just a small town. You know what the headlines were the next day in the paper? Oak Ridge attacks Japan. And of course, that brought great victory in that war. Well, through my ministry years, over 34 years now, pastors have shared with me their war stories. But it's not on the battlefront in some foreign country. I call it spiritual warfare stories, where we realize there's an enemy that fights against the church. Pastor Earl's told me some war stories in the past. Pastor Bob, when he was alive, he told me some war stories. My father-in-law was in the ministry for many years. He's told me some spiritual warfare stories. Brother Ken, I'm blessed to have those men in the church, and I can go to them and I say, man, what should I do? What can I do in this situation? And they'll bring up a story that they'll share with me, and they'll encourage me, just like Paul is doing to Timothy. Look at the first few verses here. It's not on the screen, but he's just telling Timothy, preach the word. I can't tell you how many times other pastors have encouraged me, no matter what, just preach the word. Be instant in season. That means be prepared, whether the season is favorable or not. Right now, you would say the season for preaching is not favorable. But what's a preacher supposed to do? Still preach the word of God. You say, why is it not a favorable season? It's because, look at verse 3, people are not enduring or listening for sound doctrine. They're wanting to look for teachers who will tell them whatever they want to hear. That means they want to remain in their sin and still think they're pleasing God, and it's not according to God's word. And so that's what they're looking for these days. And then verse 5, I've had men tell me this, boy, watch thou in all things. Man, keep a clear mind in every situation. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. And make full proof of thy ministry. That means fully carry out the ministry that God has for you. Those are words of encouragement that a veteran preacher of the gospel was telling his young person or preacher that he was mentoring, Timothy. That's what he encouraged him to do. And now I have some spiritual warfare stories that I'm passing on to Colton. He'll come to my office and say, preacher, what in the world am I going to do about this? And so that's what it's all about. It's passing down our faith to the next generation. So here's Paul. He's a veteran. He's been faithful all these years. He's encouraging Timothy, boy, in the first 5 verses. You keep at it, boy. You're going to have some times where you're reproving and rebuking and exhorting, and you're going to have to be long-suffering. You're going to have to stick to the truth of God's word. But then in verse 6, he starts reflecting on his own ministry. Here are some powerful words to all of us on how to be good soldiers until the end of our lives here on earth. Number 1, first of all, he looked around at the present. Can you say that with me? Ready? He looked around at the present. Look at verse 6. For I am now, get that word right there. now ready to be offered. In other words, my life's already been poured out as an offering to God. And the time of my departure is at hand. What's that mean? Hey, the time of my death is very near. He's telling Timothy this. Here, Paul speaks of dying and departing. Let me ask you a question. If today was the last day that you had on earth, are you ready? He says, I am ready now to be offered. What if you knew it was very soon? Hey, that seems to be the impression we get from Paul here. God had let him know that his days on earth were drawing to an end. They were very few. For I'm now ready to be offered. In other words, my life's already been poured out as an offering to God. The idea of a drink offering is first presented in Genesis 35:14, where Jacob poured a drink offering before the Lord as a sacrifice. In the Mosaic law, drink offerings could be a part of a sacrifice to the Lord. During the ritual of sacrificing a lamb, wine was poured out over the sacrifice. The sacrifice was really hot because it was on the brazen altar. Fire underneath it. That drink offering, what would it do? It would just go up in steam, right? It would evaporate and disappear. Paul is saying here in this scripture, I have just poured my life as a drink offering on the sacrifice of Jesus. Imagine Jesus being sacrificed on the cross of Calvary. And that's what Paul's saying here. I've poured my life as a drink offering upon his sacrifice. Now, Paul's life was going to disappear soon, and all that was going to be seen is Jesus. So as that offering just evaporated, disappeared, that's what Paul wanted to happen in his life. He wanted just people to see Jesus. You know, many Christians try to be remembered. They want their names chiseled in snow and stone, or they want their names to be put on a building, having their names in memory. But Paul was not interested in that type of thing. You know what he says? My life is a drink offering poured out. Jesus, not Paul, is the one who is to be exalted. I hope we're not exalting each other, amen? The only person we're supposed to exalt is Jesus Christ himself. Poured out, that gives the idea of complete emptying, giving, no reservation. The liquid is completely emptied from the cup, totally given to God. You know, his entire life was sacrificial service. He says, man, in essence, he's saying, I've been a living sacrifice. I've been serving him since the day I got saved. Now I'm going to complete my sacrifice by laying down my life for him. His head was not on the executioner's block yet, but his heart was already there. He was ready to make the ultimate sacrifice. He did not tremble at the prospect of death. Hey, when your life is over, will people be able to say, he poured out his life for Jesus? Will they be able to say, she poured out her life for Jesus? And then he says, the time of my departure is at hand. You know the idea of departure? It gives the idea of loosening of a ship being tied down or anchored. I love the image of Paul lifting up that anchor, tossing aside the ropes, joyfully sailing to a better place. How many are going to experience that one day? Amen. I've been tied down to this earth long enough. Loosen them ropes. Pull up the anchor. I'm headed to shore. It's time to go home and be with Jesus forever. Remember, the believer never really dies. He just departs. Paul said in Philippians, I've got a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Do you realize this morning that when we die or get raptured out of here, that's the way I want to go, that we are going to be better off. Amen. Paul longed for that final voyage. His time was short. The ship was about to leave. Man, he was ready. And he was confident. Number two, not only did he look around at the present, but he looked back at the past. Look at verse 7. Say it with me. Ready? I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He had finished his race. He had remained faithful. Paul looks back at a life of triumph, like a determined wrestler or a boxer in the ring, like a good soldier on the battle or in the battle, like we've talked about today. He's fought a good fight, like a runner, like Colton preached about 2 weeks ago. He has finished his lifelong race victoriously. Now, this race is about to be finished. He had touched all the bases. He had completed all the work that God had planned for him. Wouldn't it be amazing to look back on your life and have no regrets and say, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Paul was not always popular. He was not always comfortable. But boy, he remained faithful, and that's all that really matters. He was faithful to sound doctrine. Praise God for that. And we've got a fight to endure. We've got a race to run. We got a treasure to guard, and that is the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we do this by remembering those who've gone before us. As Paul's passing down his faith to Timothy, we need to pass down our faith to others and let them know, hey, keep your eyes on Jesus till the trumpet blows. Number three, finally, he looked ahead to the future. Look at verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me, hey, I got a prize that's awaiting me in glory. A crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, on the day of his return. And not to me only. Isn't this good right here, y'all? Hey, it's not just for me. What's the next phrase says? But unto all them also that love his appearing. Do you love his appearing? Are you looking forward for the trumpet to blow? Paul knew there was a crown waiting for him. He's ready to receive it. He is certain that he's going to get a crown. Paul envisioned an award ceremony where he's going to receive a crown that's waiting for him. Paul was going to be rewarded by the Lord in heaven. There are two main words for crown in the New Testament. Royal crown, that's diadem, and then the victor's crown. Here, Paul refers to a victor's crown. In those days, in the Olympic time, when Paul was preaching and living, winners in the world of sports received a garland of oak, olive, or ivy leaves. This crown was given to the one who had completed the race or completed the event according to the rules and had won the victory, first place. Well, this type of crown soon withered and died. And I'm telling you, they wouldn't last forever. That was a fading crown of just leaves. But his crown of righteousness is never going to fade. And Paul is not going to keep his crown forever, though. What's he going to do with that crown in heaven? He's going to take that crown from off his head, and what's he going to do? Cast it at Jesus' feet. Any crowns that we receive will be cast back at Jesus' feet. We'll give any trophy or any prize right back to Jesus because he's the one who gets the glory. Some feel like Paul was too focused on rewards. Hey, some people say this, it's not proper for us Christians to think about the reward that you're going to get in heaven and just be constantly thinking about that all the time. Yet I don't think God has any problem with motivating us with heavenly rewards. And I want to motivate you. Would you like to have a crown in heaven? Would you like to look forward to the future because it's going to be worth it all? Hang in there and you're going to get rewarded. Now, some Christians worry too much about it. And here's their questions. What if I don't get a crown? What if my crown's really small? Hey, what if the Lord is disappointed in me? All I can tell you is, here's my advice. Ready? I'm almost done. Simply be busy, loving, serving, and glorifying Jesus with your life. He is the righteous judge. He will reward you properly. We're not going to look at each other in heaven and say, hey, I got three crowns, you only got one, I'm better than you, ha, ha, ha. It will not be like that at all. He'll receive all the glory. So just keep living your life pleasing to him. Stay away from sin. Love Jesus with all your heart. Love his appearing. Look for it every day. live righteously, serve faithfully, and we can win the same crown that Paul won. So this promise is for us. It's not just for super saints. It's not just for the apostles. Not just for great preachers. No, we can receive a crown. It's available to all of us. I wonder, this morning, do you love his appearing? Jesus is supposed to be, the coming of Jesus is supposed to be our blessed hope. Do you have that this morning? Do you see Jesus waiting at the finish line? We're getting close, church. Can you see him there? Soon, you're going to see him as he is. You will see his nail-scarred hands and feet. You will look into his eyes. You will hear his voice. You're going to receive the crowns from him. Do you love your Savior? Have you told him today that you love him? Say it right now. I love you, Jesus. Can you say it? Amen. I tell you, you will not regret the fighting. You will not regret the enduring. You will not regret the running down here on earth. Because one day, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials, they'll seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Bow your heads in prayer. Hey, let's look around at the present. You better be pouring your life out for Jesus. Number two, let's look back at the past and see, wow, Jesus, you've been so faithful to me through the years. And then let's look ahead to the future. We're going to be rewarded. It's going to be worth it all. Every suffering, everything we're facing down here, one day it'll be worth it all. And the things that we're going through right now, they will pale in comparison to the joy that we have in heaven. I wonder, are you assured of your heavenly home this morning? Can you say like Paul, hey, it's time for my departure, but I'm ready. And I'm going to heaven. And I can't wait to receive my rewards in heaven. Is there somebody like that here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you pray for me? I've never placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible simply says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Nobody's looking. You say, preacher, please pray for me about that. I'm concerned. I'm not 100% sure that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand just so I can know? Nobody else is looking. Anybody? Say, I need to be saved today. Anybody? All right. Well, based on your testimony, you're saved. Let me just ask you, Christian, are you ready for his return? Are you ready if death came your way? By the way, none of us are promised tomorrow. Y'all realize that? So you better be ready today.